بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School. And the subject of today, Islam is not civilized religion, stereotypes. And Muslims are not civilized people. And this is part one, which is analysis of the word modern civilization to see who is truly civilized and who's truly not civilized. Last century is called the century of mega death. Mega something means millions of something. And let's see, 175 million people were killed in the previous century. Let's see. In World War I. See the numbers, the total numbers down there? They add up. This is death per country. What is the total number we have arrived? 18,415,901 total death. Okay, 90, let's say almost 19 million. That's World War I. Civilized nations, World War I. Civilized nation, World War II. Thank you. 66 millions were killed in the previous in World War II. The civilized world. This is the people who say Islam is not civilized religions and Muslims are not civilized people. Look at the current civilization and look what happens. Muslims were not responsible of these world wars, okay? If you want to see how many people were killed by each dictator, Hitler killed by himself 18 million. You think this is the record? Well, Mao, almost 31 million. You think this is the record? Yes, Mao is the record. Just imagine somebody is going to meet God and he killed almost 31 million people. That's what the angels, when they said, you're going to create someone on earth who's going to shed blood, spread corruption and shed blood. This is the civilized world. This is the civilized world. No doubt humanity has achieved tremendous technological advancements in the current century. Man is able to travel from one half of the globe to the other half in a few hours, communicates with other planets in a fraction of a second, invented huge machines, airplanes, satellites, cellular phones, all kinds of electronics, Wi-Fi. Man wired the entire globe together with internet and phone lines. Man walked on the moon as invading the space and other planets. Tremendous materialistic accomplishments. Now, but this is only just one side of the reality. There is another dark side that we cannot ignore. This century has tremendous disgrace, decline, and degradation of humanity. Facts related to this decline of humanity during past century brought from a book authored by Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's a PhD from Harvard University, and he's the former US National Security Advisor for Jimmy Carter. The book is called Out of Control, Global Turmoil in the Eve of the 20th Century. This is the book, it's nice. And it's an important document in this subject because his position as one of the top officials, National Security Advisor, he was exposed to classified information, facts, and numbers of victims in various wars. And we want to evaluate the Western civilization from a Western point of view. Muslim writers are often accused of being prejudiced against it. We Muslims are often suspicious about Orientalists and their writings, and so our Westerners are suspicious about Occidentalism, which is the studying the Western civilization using Eastern points of view, using Eastern eyes. And it's fair to look at the Western civilization from a Western point of view. So that's the second reason this book is important. And the third is Dr. Brzezinski. And Dr. Brzezinski has really tremendous achievements. He got a PhD from Harvard. That's a physical PhD or a real PhD. And he got honorary PhDs. How many honors PhDs he got? He got five. Got five PhD, honorable PhD. And in his book, he talked about the decline and degradation of humanity during the 20th century. And this degradation could be summarized under four main headlines. And it's not getting better during this century. The first is the century of mega death. Second, who controls the technology of death? Third, the giant of global inequality. Four, the entertainment industry, Hollywood. The century of mega death indicates millions of people killed in this century. And then I'm going to read the summary. It registers the human toll of massive moral values of the 20th century. Of those killed in the 20th century wars, approximately 33 million were young men, mostly between the age of 18 and 30, who were executed in the name of nationalism and ideology. World War I consumed at least 8.5 million soldiers, World War II, 19 million soldiers, causing massive biological depletion of talent, energy, genetic inheritance in several key European nations. Other wars elsewhere caused additional 6 million soldiers. That was the cost of military life. How about civilians? The practice of total war, in which both civilians and soldiers are killed, were initiated by Nazis and Japanese militarists, and then the so-called democratic societies followed. The hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians killed in the firebombing of Debrecen and in the atomic destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki provide mute testimony to the moral corruption facilitated by advances in the technology of death. Other civilian casualties are estimated to about 13 million women, children, and older men during World War I, and 20 million during World War II. And to that, the estimated 15 million civilian Chinese death in the Sino-Japanese War, which started prior to World War II. In addition, probably no less than 6 million civilians were killed in other conflicts. Among them, the Mexican Wars of the early century, the Uruguay-Bolivia War, 1928 to 35, the Spanish Civil War, 1936 to 39, the Italian invasion of Ethiopia in 1936, the Indian-Pakistan partition of 1947, and the subsequent two wars, the Korean War of 1950-53, the Nigerian Civil War of 1967, the Vietnam War of 1961-74, and the Iraq-Iran War of 1980-87. The number of defenseless individuals deliberately put to death because of religious hatred and ethnic cleansing is beyond the estimate. The Hindu-Muslim killing during the partition of India took the life of about 3 to 4 million people. Hitler caused deliberate death of 6 million European Jews, more than 2 million Poles, with special efforts made to kill the entire Polish intelligentsia, 6 million Soviet, and at least 2 to 3 million cold-bloodedly murdered elsewhere in Europe. In brief, Hitler had about 17 million, roughly, put to death. That was not the record number. Hitler numbers were outdone by Stalin and Mao. Stalin inherited from Lenin an efficiently operating machinery for the mass destruction of political and social opponents, and he further improved on it. Lenin killed between 6 to 8 million people. That number was more or less tripled by Stalin, who caused no less than 25 million people, the death of 25 million people. Of that total, in the year 1937 to 38, 1 million were shot one by one, and additional 2 million died in labor camp. Additional 1 million were also executed during the preceding years, following Stalin's coming to power in the late 1920s. Add to that 7 million victims of Stalin's destruction of the peasant society, and about 12 million died in labor camp. To this must be added another 1 million or so put to death during and after World War II, and close to 1 million prisoners of war can be assumed to have died in Stalin camps. To this day, the former Soviet Union is dotted with enormous secret graveyards, usually located on the outskirts of big cities, in which the bodies of the executed victims were systematically, usually at night, buried. Just next to Minsk, a city of less than 1 million inhabitants in Stalin's time, a burial site containing more than 200,000 executed victims was uncovered in the late 1980s. Subsequently, similar sites have been found throughout the entire land next to every major city. Throughout Eastern Europe, in every state, concentration or death camps were established in which enemies of the new regimes were put to death. Accounting for the human losses in China during the most violent phases of the communist experiment gives a figure of up to 29 million people as the human cost of communist era. add to that the price in human lives paid for the attempts of construct communism in Eastern Europe, North Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Cuba. It is safe estimate that it's consumed at least 3 million victims. In brief, the failed effort to build communism in the 20th century consumed the life of almost 60 million beings, making communism the most costly human failure in all history. Communism basically lived about 70 years, which is age of a man, not an age of a nation. To sum up, the total killed deliberately during this century is no less than 175 million people. This century, they mean the 20th century. And 175 lives, just like to imagine this number. These are deliberately killed due to politically motivated genocides. This is approximate equivalent to the total population of France, Italy, and Great Britain, or over two-thirds of the total current population of the United States. This is more than the total killed in all previous wars, civil conflicts, and religious persecution throughout human history. Indeed, it is the century of mega death. This is attributed to organized political insanity coupled by advances in the technologies of destruction, one that justifiably stamps the 20th century as the century of mega death. To this day, has anyone been brought to justice for these extraordinary crimes? Note that these wars were not motivated by religion. Muslims did not participate in World War II. Now, who controls the technology of death? The existing mass destruction weapons that we have today is enough to destroy the earth several times. But the question is, who controls the buttons of these mass destruction weapons? Guess who? Politicians are the ones who control these weapons. Politicians driven by materialistic gains and strategic interests. Those who lie every time they move their lips. Capitalism is based on materialism, selfishness, and greed. The politician in a capitalistic society will be driven by materialism, not by idealism. There are two ways to make decisions. Maybe we make it on base our decisions and foreign policies on materialism and strategic interest, or we can base them on idealism or moral values, such as, for example, wish for others that you wish for yourself, justice and freedom for all. Unfortunately, capitalistic societies are driven by materialism, and based on this materialism, we decided to kill. We kill for an oil pipeline or political control or a strategic interest. And the decision of using or not using these mass destruction weapons are based on the same thing. Now, Dr. Brzezinski says in his book, men have misused technology to destroy and kill. Now aeroplanes that travel with a speed faster than the speed of sound can go everywhere loaded with bombs that weigh thousands of pounds, and as well as smart missiles to destroy entire cities and villages. Westerners have lost the balance between power and manners. They did not keep the equilibrium between religion and science. Power and science are growing while manners and religions are declining. Materialism is growing while spiritualities are declining. You think about a good example of this loss of balance. Is the guy, for example, scientist who invented the atomic bomb. He's smart, knowledgeable in the area of nuclear physics, but his lack of spiritual control led him to inventing such a bomb that took the lives of millions of people instead of employing this technology to improve the quality of the lives of the people. In the old days, war was man against man, but now it is man against machine. Nowadays, the pilot is sitting in an air-conditioned aeroplane, killing with buttons as though he's playing a video game. It is so easy now to kill millions of people with a click of a button. We are a generation that was able to leap on the moon, yet crawling and limping on Earth. That's the second point. The third point is the giant of global inequality. Well, there are many forms of inequality that we are witnessing today. The first one is the political injustice. the concentration of power in few hands, the oppression and disregard of civil and human rights in many areas of the world. Even in democracies, when we see the neglect of basic rights and civil freedoms in the name of national security, patriotism, interesting enough, these are the same excuses used by the dictators in the third world. Same excuses. We are hearing things that are foreign to our democracy now. We also see injustices in democracies where certain small powerful interest group, very powerful lobbies are working hard for their own selfish benefit and even to serve countries other than their own, just like Israel, for example. United States is serving Israel. And on the international level, we see injustice in the form of double standards when dealing with world affairs. They say human rights, joke, people joke and say human rights have blue eyes and blonde hair. And they say democracy. Democracy is restricted to certain countries. Democracy in the Middle East is not allowed and is called blind democracy because it brings Islam to government, Islam to power, just like what happened in Egypt before aborting the revolution. The second form of inequality is inequality of the distribution of wealth, both on the level of one country, on the international level as well. We witness the accumulation of wealth in the hands of few. In the one of the third world countries, 98% of the population, which is in Egypt, 90% of the population is consuming 20% of the national income, while 2% of population consuming 80% of the national income. Just imagine. Even in the first world, we see pockets of third world within the boundaries of the first world. If we look here within our boundaries of United States, we can see pockets of third world within our boundaries and poor communities. On the international level and gang, on the international living, we see obscene luxury that a small segment of humanity is living on the expense of millions of poor and needy who are starving to death. We also see the exploitation of the power to the weak, the rich exploiting the poor, the attempt to dominate and control resources and markets in the name of globalization. And as a result, we see things like, just for example, the United States is consuming 60% of the world resources, even though we constitute about 5% of the world population. Now, Dr. Brzezinski says in his book, distribution of wealth in the global is highly uneven. Economic growth is also highly unevenly distributed. It favors the rich portion of the mankind and making the gap wider. The situation is getting worse as the population of the world grows much more in poor states. The population of the world is expected to be near 8.5 billion by the year 2025. He authored the book in 1995, so that was 30 years ago. And he's right, we're about near 8.5 billion, I think. Of that total, as many as 6.5 billions are expected to be living in the poorer states of mankind. Even worse, approximately 2/3 of these would be concentrated in the urban slums of the less developed world, making them highly susceptible to radical political mobilization. The portion of the population of the rich countries who are over the age of 65 is increasing much more rapidly than the corresponding age bracket in the poorer countries, while the number of under the age of 15 is shrinking more rapidly. Negative demographic trends are reinforced by negative economic trends. According to the United Nations Human Development Report for 1992, in the 1960s, the richer countries were 30 times wealthier than the poorer ones. But in the 1990s, the gap has widened to the point that the income of the richer country has become 150 times higher. And that is the civilized world that are saying Islam is not a civilized religion. Interesting. Hollywood and the entertainment industry, the fourth title. You said killing machines are not only the one destructive technology, you know, other destructive technology exists that destroys the mind. Interestingly enough, Dr. Brzezinski introduces the television as the most mind-destroying technology. So Dr. Brzezinski said in his book, television is playing a vital role in destroying the minds of children and teenagers. Ether waves travel everywhere, and we add to this Wi-Fi, and enters every house to teach kids sex, violence, and infidelity through TVs and shows, radios, by means of adult movies, date shows, rated R movies, etc. Today, much of the world, especially for the young, television is the most important instrument both for socialization and education. That was before the streaming. We didn't know about the streaming, online streaming and the internet. He wasn't there. The book, he died in 2017, but the book was authored in 1995. Okay, the most important instrument for socialization and education is the television. And in this respect, is rapidly replacing the role traditionally played by the family, by the religion, and by the school. Television gives the young viewer the first look to the outside world. It first defines the meaning of the good life. Good life is defined by TV and movies. It sets the standards of what is to be considered an achievement, fulfillment, good taste, and proper conduct. It conditions desires, defines aspiration and expectation, and draws the line between acceptable and unacceptable behavior. With audience around the world increasingly glued to television sets, there is nothing comparable to the culture and philosophical condition that the television exercises on the viewers. It is a staggering fact that according to data from Nielsen Media Service, an American housewife, remember those are in 1995, spends 28 hours and 13 minutes per week, about one quarter of her awake hours, watching television. And that American teenagers do that for about 20 hours a week. Even worse is the data accumulated by the Educational Testing Services. It indicates that the proportion of the children aged 13 who watch television for 5 hours or more every per day, which is 35 hours per week, is over 20% in America, and sometimes in the range of over 10% for both Western and some developing countries. These numbers underline the importance of television in shaping the perception and values. But on the other side, who is controlling the television programs and movies? Who is shaping the minds of the people and setting standards to them through television shows and episodes and movies? And listen to this. More than 50% of the worldwide films viewing involves American-made production. No nation even remotely close to the United States in the distribution of television programming abroad. In recent years, the United Kingdom and France have been in the second place, but their respective sales have amounted to less than 15% of the total American export hours. Every continent is thereby affected or infected by the images and values which American TV projects. Driven by profiteers who exploit the hunger for vulgarity, pornography, and even barbarism. Hollywood basically is teaching humanity through TV. Hollywood normalizes violence and brutality. Hollywood encourages sexual relationships through examples that stimulate pressure. Just for example, an ad for condoms addressed to the American teenagers and children describe the potential customer as sexually active, with the obvious negative impression that the other, or the inference that the others are inactive. So they make business from the worst public instinct, resulting in the loss of control over social behavior. This is especially applicable to the, for example, when I was in Egypt, there were two American television series episodes, Dallas and Dynasty. You can just imagine how terrible are these two movies. They have been shown in more than 100 countries, and the image they present of the American values are terrible. They tell us what's the message that America has to offer to the world. American movies in recent years have come to be dominated by brutish violence, physical and sexual animalhood, with growing box office rewards for each overdose of profanity, sex, and violence. It is no exaggeration that Hollywood movies and TV producers have become cultural polluters, and they have propagating self-destructive social ethics. And as Dr. Brzezinski says, a direct product of this we have in America. One, the widespread of crimes and violence resulting directly from Hollywood. What also made it worse is the extraordinary easy access to the lethal weaponry. He didn't know that about the mass shooting that we're suffering from now. Probably in 1995, this wasn't as common as now. With more guns in private hands and even criminal hands than its most armies around the world. Wow. With the TV and film culture that extols violence, all of this produces the highest rate of homicide in any civilized country in the world. The spread of massive drug culture, in part as form of psychological escape and in part as an alternative way to become rich quickly, with the earnings from drugs estimated to yield more than $100 billion a year. And also it resulted in the discontinuity of the transfer of tradition and values from one generation to the other. Usually the religious institutions and schools are, and families are the one that has traditions and values passed from generation, transferred from one generation to another. Now, a lot more, there are six things that influence the children growing up here. Number one, the family. Two, the church or the Islamic center. Three, the school. Four, the society. Five, peers and pressure. Six is friends, I think. So basically, the family has one out of six. So there's a lot of baggage that comes from outside. You send kids to school, they bring baggages that are not, they were not sent to bring. It is a disaster, somewhat a disaster. I don't know if anybody have written more detailed studies about that. Definitely there is, but I'm not aware of it. I don't know what to say. If we add to the problems Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski here listed, we can probably talk about mass shooting, and we can probably talk about exploitation of television with growing box office rewards for the overdose of profanity. I don't do well with movies with profanity, especially with a lot of F words. I remember there was a movie that F word was saying in every sentence. What if there is F, you know? And people liked it. People, you know, liked the movie, gave good reviews for the movie. And I couldn't really watch this movie because of this. My limit is two F words in a movie. Once I get them, I just quit watching that movie. Profanity is not something that I hate, and many decent people hate as well. That's it.